God loves us so much, He disciplines us, just like any good parent. Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
It's the love and the mercy of God that we see here. Same God who will discipline us will also deliver us. Therefore, if you're here tonight and you're under the discipline of God, do not despair. He's not cast you off forever. He's a merciful God. Psalm 30, verses 4 and 5 says, "Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. For His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life."
Dwelling place.
Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs welcomes you to another edition of The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman. Today we'll continue our study through the Psalms as we look at Psalm 108. If I asked you to name a few of the reasons why it's so wonderful to be a Christian, you'd be hard-pressed to limit your list to just a few. It's sort of like turning a kid loose in a candy store and telling him to just pick out a couple of things. There's so much joy, so much pleasure, so much love in the life of a Christian, it's hard to express it. There are times when we have to concentrate our thoughts on the downside of life. But today, let's concentrate on the greatness of God. Here's Pastor Al Pittman with today's message.
Psalm 108, a psalm of David. And that's all we have in the title. This is one of David's psalms. Verse 1, we'll just jump right into it. Verse 1 says, "O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. Awake lute and harp, I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing praises to you among the nations." Amen. He says, "I will awaken the dawn." That means he got up early in the morning. I don't know. Amen. 4, verse 4 says, "For your mercy is great above the heavens, and your truth reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above all the earth, that your beloved may be delivered, save with your right hand, and hear me." What we have here is merely just a declaration of praise. This is a psalm of praise to God, a declaration of praise. Verse 6, he says that the reason he's praising the Lord is that your beloved may be delivered, save with your right hand and hear me. But also the fact that he knows that his deliverance is in the glorification, not of himself, but the glorification of the Savior, the glorification of God. And many times, when we're in a tight spot, as we will see, David is somewhat in a tight spot, but we tend to magnify ourselves. But here David says, "No, my glory, I will glory in you, Lord, even my own glory, everything that I have within me, I'm going to glory in you." It's not the exaltation of myself, but the glorification of the Savior by which we are delivered. And so therefore, the psalmist, David, declares his praise unto God, knowing that his deliverance is through his praise. In verse 7, he says, "God has spoken in his holiness." And then he says, "I will rejoice." The Lord has spoken in his holiness. "I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and measure out the valley of Succoth. And Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the helmet for my head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom I will cast my shoe. Over Philistia I will triumph." Now, what is he speaking about here? God, basically, he says, God has spoken. God has spoken in his holiness and his faithfulness. And upon this, David is completely resting, because God has given his word, has spoken a word to David. And David says, "I'm resting because God has spoken in his holiness." That is, in his faithfulness, God has spoken. And he says, now, based upon that, because God has spoken, now, listen, he's saying, "I'm going to rejoice based upon what God has said." And that is the source of his joy. And then in verses, the latter part of verse 7 to 9, He talks about these places dividing Shechem and the valley of Succoth, and Gilead is mine and all that. And David's laying claim to all these places. Now, the meaning here is that David is saying that through God, I will do valiantly. And in verse 13, he mentions that. He says, through God, we will do valiantly, for it is he who shall tread down our enemies. One commentator, in commenting on verses 7, the latter part of verse 7 to 9, and all these places that David says, I will do this and this, you know, Philistia, and I will cast my shoe over Edom and all of that. He is basically speaking about the triumph that he's anticipating through the word of God over his enemies. One commentator writes, he says, David, when he wrote these words, felt as strong an assurance that he would carry out his purpose and subdue his enemies as if he had seen them flying from before his army. He, in other words, he realized, the commentator says, he realized the unseen. What David is speaking here, he's speaking words of faith here, declaring he already has victory over his enemies. And he's realizing the unseen. And in the same sense, for us to, I think, perform valiantly through God, it requires faith. So David is exercising here faith. And we must realize the unseen by speaking words of faith based upon what? Based upon the character of God, his holiness and his faithfulness. And we have to realize the victory before we can possess it. You know that. You have to realize it first before we can possess it. Note in verses 10 to 11, he says, who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me to Edom? Is it not you, O God, who cast us off? And you, O God, who did not go out with our enemies? With praise on his lips, David sees himself victorious even over Edom. Edom is that strong city, verse 10 talks about, there is that strong city. Who will lead me to Edom? Even the strongholds, the strong areas of my life, that impenetrable city that is so strong that no one's ever been able to conquer it, that strong thing in my life that has come up against me, my God is able to give me victory even over that. And he's realizing this, and he's visualizing this, and he's basing his victory upon the word that God has spoken. And he's resting in that. God has spoken in his holiness. He has spoken victory over my life. Regardless of the strongholds that I see coming against me, despite the enemies that are coming against me, Philistia, where the Philistines were, and all these other places, Edom and Judah and Ephraim, and all these places David subdued through the power of God, according to the word of God. David does not wait for the moment of victory, but he offers up his praise in the present. So some of you may be going through something tonight in your life, and you're waiting for that victory to come so that you can offer God the praise and say, oh, look what God did. But what David learned is that I'm going to offer God praise based upon his word in the present. And therefore, we can say praise in the present makes way for victory in the future. It's called faith. Are we willing to praise him now in the present? David was. And he saw himself victorious and subduing all the land through God. Notice something also here in verse 11, this short psalm, Psalm 108, that the God who disciplines is also the same God who delivers. I love that. Verse 11, he says, is it not you, O God, who cast us off? And you, O God, who did not go out with our armies? What is he speaking about there? He's speaking about how God had abandoned his people at one point. God, wasn't it you who cast us off? Wasn't it you, Lord, that we came under your discipline? We came under your discipline when we had done wrong. Wasn't it you that cast us off, that wouldn't go out with our armies? But you're the same God who will deliver us. Aren't you glad the same God that will spank you will also deliver you? I mean, it's like our parents, you know. They would discipline us and spank us, but they would also deliver us. And my father, he was like many of your fathers, you know, kind of a forceful guy. And, you know, I grew up to be much taller than him and all that. But, boy, when I was coming up, man, he was like God, you know. And he'd get a hold of you and spank you. But if you got in trouble, I tell you what, he'd defend you. I remember getting kicked out of school one time for hitting somebody, and he went down there and, you know, sitting in the principal's office defending me. Well, how big is the other boy? Yeah, I want to see the other boy. Yeah, you know, and the guy was bigger than me, you know. Big old crybaby. Anyway, he was. But Dad always stood up. Same man that would discipline me would smack fire out of me if he needed to. Would discipline me, and I would love me and deliver me, and I would, and I see God in the same sense. He said, "Lord, isn't it you? You know, you're the one that's going to give us victory over the strongholds, over these strong places in our lives. Over the you're going to bring the whole land's going to be brought in us. It's going to be subdued, Lord, through you, the same God who disciplined us before." It's the love and the mercy of God that we see here. Same God who will discipline us will also deliver us. Therefore, if you're here tonight and you're under the discipline of God, do not despair. He's not cast you off forever. He's a merciful God.
Pastor Al will have the second half of our study in Psalm 108 in just a moment. At The Dwelling Place, we count on the support of our listeners, both financially and through prayer. In these trying economic times, we know it's difficult for many to make ends meet right now. But if you'd like to make a one-time donation or to become a monthly supporter, just go to cwccs.org or text the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. You can also send a donation through the mail to The Dwelling Place, 501 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. And on behalf of Pastor Al, thanks for your support, both through donation and through prayer. Now here's Pastor Al once again with the conclusion of today's study.
Psalm 30, verses 4 and 5 says, "Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name, for His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad? I know I am. Verses 12 and 13, David says there, "Give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. Through God we will do valiantly, for it is He who shall tread down our enemies." God is our only real help. In other words, it is He who shall tread down our enemies. It's the Lord that will tread down our enemies. David's not trusting in the size of his army or his popularity or anything else, but he knows that his victory is from the Lord. We must wake up and realize that the battle we face today is spiritual and that we are desperately in need of God's help. And David says, "Give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless." Give us help, Lord, from trouble. It's time to pray, and it's time to fast. It's time to go back to those things, the spiritual weaponry that God has given to us to do battle against the spiritual strongholds in high places. We need to stand up for righteousness' sake, but we can't do it in our own strength. We cannot do valiantly apart from the power of God. And so, indeed, we need God's power. God is the only one that can truly help us. And these are indeed evil times. They're evil times. And, boy, we better snap, as my sons say, you know. They used to say, I don't know, that's probably old now. You better snap, you know. You better wake up. Know what time it is. But we need to understand also that even in these evil days, that the victory is still ours. We don't have to resort to carnal means or whatever. The victory is still ours. Our help comes from the Lord. Therefore, we can praise our God. And so David has praise on his lips because he realizes, Lord, you know, I know all this stuff is against me. I know Edom is boasting. I know all these things are out there, Lord. I know these places are yet to be subdued. But my God, I can perform valiantly through my God. Not by might or power, Zechariah says, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And then the words of Hezekiah, the words of the prophet in King Hezekiah spoke. Actually, the prophet was speaking. In the days of King Hezekiah, 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verses 7 and 8, where it is prophesied there when they were surrounded or being threatened by the Assyrian army. He says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that is with him. For there are more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Amen. And I think we live in those days where God is saying, be strong. Don't be fearful of those who have the arm of the flesh, who threaten you, who want to silence you. But know that God is definitely with us, that he himself will fight our battles. And we will be victorious. Therefore, we can continue to lift our voices and to praise our God. Amen. In Psalm 109, we move on here. But is again another psalm of David. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. We have here in this psalm David's own appeal to God. It's almost like a continuation of Psalm 108. But he has an appeal to God against a chief persecutor. And some believe that it could be one of many persecutors, those who were against David. Some believe that he may be speaking here about King Saul. You know, King Saul hated David. 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 10 says that Saul threw a spear at David, tried to pin him against the wall one time in his home. And not David's home, but in Saul's palace or whatever, in this dwelling there. David was ministering, and he just hated David, threw a spear at him. So he could be talking about King Saul here, or he could be talking about Doeg. Doeg is, he was the Edomite, 1 Samuel chapter 22. He was the one who kind of ratted David out when David was fleeing from Saul and was telling Saul where David was. Or it could be, some believe, Ahithophel. Ahithophel was David's counselor. He was David's counselor who turned against David in 2 Samuel chapters 15 to 17. Or it could be Shimei. 2 Samuel chapter 16. Shimei was the man that met David as he was fleeing Jerusalem because Absalom, his son, had stirred up an insurrection against his father. And Shimei was a descendant of King Saul, so he thought, well, David's finally getting his. And so he saw David fleeing with his entourage, and seeing David, he began to throw rocks at him and kick up dust and curse him and all of that. So it could be, you know, David had a lot of folks who didn't like him. And I think as we often discover in life, there are those who would rather be our enemy than our ally, especially when they discover we are disciples of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, I don't know if you're still living in that fantasy world that says everybody's going to like you. Well, guess what? You're going to have some people who will be your persecutors no matter what you do. Romans 12 says, as much as depends on you, live at peace with all men. Sometimes you've done all you can do, but they still don't like you. Amen? And but Jesus says it's all right. Luke chapter 6, verses 22 to 23 says, blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you. They didn't call you to the party. Amen. And revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap, he says, for joy. I think Jesus has a different perspective on, you know, winning friends and influencing people. He says, I want you to leap for joy. We ought to be leaping. I didn't get an invitation. They didn't invite me. Woo! All right. Because I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. He said, leap for joy. leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner their fathers did so to the prophets. Well, verses 1 to 5, Psalm 109 says, do not keep silent, O God, of my praise. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful have opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They have also surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. Verse 4, in return for my love, they are my accusers, but I give myself to prayer. Thus they have rewarded me with evil for good and hatred for my love. Interesting. Have you ever experienced that? You love somebody and they've given you hatred back in return. Anybody ever been there? No matter what you tried to do. Notice, however, David's response, the latter part of verse 4. But I give myself to prayer. Boy, what a great response when you have been rejected, even though you've tried to love other people. I don't know about you, that's not always my response. I give myself to hatred. I give myself to getting even. I give myself to that. All right, that's where you want to play it, you know? I'm going to play hardball, you know? Batter up, you know? We're going to play, you know? That's not the response that we ought to have. David's response is supreme in that he says, they've given themselves to hating me. I've given myself to pray. Woo! See, that makes sense to our human minds. I remember, did I tell you guys about this? I probably did. Now, I tell you guys things on Wednesday night. I don't tell them Sunday. Hey, you want the good stuff? You ain't heard this one? No, I was at an event the other day. I told you this last week where the guy was saying, I had spoken and I was just talking about prayer and how we need to pray and not trust in politics and all that. You know, I'm going to say that. He came up afterwards and spoke and basically said, well, you know, we don't need to go to our rooms and pray. We need to get out in public and do all this stuff. And, you know, basically taking a little jab at what I said, you know, because he mentioned it 2 or 3 times. Amen. I'm going to find the brother afterwards and get in his... No, I wasn't going to do that. But I thought it was interesting because he said, we need to get out there. And then you're right, we do need to get out there and all of that. But... you know, bottom line is our response as Christians, we need to realize that we're part of the kingdom of God and we're of another kingdom, and we need to adhere to the principles of God's kingdom. And rather than responding like the world, we need to pray.
This has been The Dwelling Place with pastor and author Al Pittman. You can listen to today's message again, watch the video version, or download an MP3 with a simple click. Just go to cwccs.org. and click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al with you wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I'd also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. That would be a great encouragement to Pastor Al and all of us here at The Dwelling Place. You can also share a prayer request with us, and we'll count it a privilege to pray for you. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Let me also remind you in closing that The Dwelling Place is a listener-supported outreach. We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. If you'd like to join our support team with a one-time gift or on a regular monthly basis, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org. or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time on The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Dwelling Place.